I need a couple of volunteers, and I'm wondering if you and Anna could work together. Anna, would you be willing to help tell this story? Okay, and Lauren, it takes a lot of people to tell this story. Anna's gonna stand up and stand forward a little bit. Okay, you're gonna face, let's see, this way. Samantha and Alex, you can go and sit on there so you can see what's going on. Lauren, you're gonna stand behind Anna. Anna, you're in charge of facial expressions. Can you make some weird facial expressions? There's a smile, that's pretty good. Yeah, very good, very good. You're in charge of the facial expressions to act out this story, okay? And Lauren is gonna move your hands. Nope, stand right there. Lauren can move your hands and make both your hands, but you gotta move both your hands. Okay, so anything in the story that needs her hands, you have to make her hands work. Okay? And you're doing the facial expressions. Okay? All right. So here's the story. And this is you telling the story, Anna. So you're going to act this out. One day, I decided to go for a walk. Suddenly, a dog began to chase me. I was afraid and ran as fast as I could. Is that your afraid face? Yeah. I waved my hands at the dog to make him go away. Finally, I couldn't see the dog anymore, and I kept walking. Now I was so hot and tired, I needed a drink of water. I bought an ice-cold bottle of water. You gotta buy a bottle of water. I drank it very fast, and I started to walk home. But the same dog started chasing me again. This time I was really scared. I ran as fast as I could to get home. I quickly took my keys out of my pocket as I was running. Here you go. When I reached home, I frantically opened the door and slammed it shut. Phew, I thought, next time I'll ask my mom to drive me. Thank you. Thank our volunteers for telling this story. Okay, stay right there. Now, who told the story? All of us, huh? Yeah. You could see some of us, you could hear some of us, but there was somebody you couldn't even see, right? Right? Lauren was working there, wasn't she? But you couldn't really see much of her because she was behind Anna. So sometimes in your school, things get cleaned up or things get taken care of and you don't even see the person that does it. Your trash gets emptied at night and the floors get all swept by somebody that you didn't even see.
Guess what?
What?
I cannot play at school. I got to play at school.
You got to play at school?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And here at the church, it's the same thing. Some people show their love of God by doing things behind the scenes. Like Mrs. Crinsline made the new bows that we have on our Christmas decorations. And there are people that clean the church. Mr. Hoffman, he comes and mows the grass and cleans up the yard and that sort of thing. And we don't see him most of the time, but the church looks nice, doesn't it? There are lots of people who do things to serve God that we may not even ever see them. But the work gets done because they are giving their best. So today we want to thank everybody who keeps the books, who cleans, who picks up things, who bakes cookies, who does all those things. And we want to thank them for their service to God. Anybody have anything else they want to share? Anything? Did you have a fun Thanksgiving? Did you see some family?
I'm going to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving.
You went to your grandma's house for Thanksgiving?
Well, not right now.
Oh, okay. You will. Apparently. Okay. We need to make a circle and we need to say a prayer, don't we? And then I have a basket that's got stickers and things in it. Thank you, God, for all the people who serve you, all the people who try to tell your story, who try to show your love in the world, who try to take care of the world in your name. We ask you to lead us so that we can do your work, so that we can take care of the world and all your people just as you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And Miss Wanda's got plans for you downstairs. You're practicing pageant music, I think. Oh, there was candy in there. How about that? Please, would you pray with me? Provider, sustainer, giving God, we are blessed in more ways than we can count. We give you thanks for all good things. We thank you for abundance, renewal, healing, and rebuilding. We thank you for sending Jesus that we might see your love and forgiveness among us. Thank you for all those who invited and included us. Thank you for your extravagant welcome. Jesus, teacher, help us learn. Help us follow you in our words, our faces, our attitudes, our actions. Help us widen our circles and expand our tables to include all our neighbors. Thank you for life and new life in you. Spirit, wind of presence, blow through us. Make our hearts loving, make our homes safe, make our communities caring, make our nations peaceful, make your world righteous and just. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37, Jesus is teaching. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Here ends the reading from Mark 13. My message this day is called No One Knows. As 2015 approaches, we will hear predictions, economic forecasts, job trends, environmental outlooks, political predictions, and even guesses about which celebrities will get married in the next year. We take those with a grain of salt, or perhaps a box of salt. We will be surprised if they come true. And yet, as a culture, we buy book after book based on what we think of as predictions from the Bible. Because it's the Bible, right? Professor of New Testament Feme Perkins suggests we look from a traditional perspective. The job of prophets in the Bible was to change behavior. To do so, they had to catch the attention of both leaders and masses. They had to be persuasive, and they had to make people believe that God wanted them to change. Once the prophet Jonah finally made it, after that little thing with the whale, after Jonah finally made it to the sin city of Nineveh, he walked its streets preaching what God had told him to say. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What happened? Well, to Jonah's chagrin, the king and all the people repented. They covered themselves in ashes and scratchy clothes. They did not eat. They prayed to God to forgive them. In other words, it worked. Jonah was effective. As a prophet, he made a difference. The people changed, and God was pleased. Therefore, God did not destroy the city. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed, was not a prediction, but a prophetic word that worked. Throughout the 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus quoted the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Jesus spoke of evil times and end times. He spoke of persecution and kept telling people to be ready, keep awake. So, should we sell everything we own and wait on a mountaintop for Jesus to ride in on that cloud? I don't think so. Jesus said many times, including here in Mark 13, no one will know the day or the hour. But remember, what was the purpose of prophetic speech? Why did the prophets and Jesus capture our imagination with darkened suns, firestorms, and earthquakes? They had to be persuasive, and they had to make people believe that God wanted them to change. Thus, we should not get stuck on the angels, the four winds, and the cock crow. When the prophets say jump, we should say, how high? What did Jesus teach us to be and do? Most of us gathered around a feast this week. Maybe you cooked the sweet potatoes, or you were invited to someone else's house. Our eldest in her 20s already has a great knack for cooking and hosting. Her food is ready at the same time, which always was a big problem for me. She has enough potatoes and silverware. What do we learn around the crowded tables with friends and extended family? In Luke 14, Jesus said, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Be humble. Sit in that awkward seat where the fern's in your hair, and even though Christ is our head, like a servant, he humbled himself. He washed the feet of his students. We can lower ourselves as well. What else do we learn around the table? Everyone is welcome. Martha thought Jesus should scold her sister Mary and tell her to help Martha in the kitchen. Jesus said Mary, listening at his knee, was just fine. Indeed, Mary had chosen the better part. Their culture said the women should be in the kitchen serving menfolk. Jesus said women were worthy partners, welcome to listen, learn, and converse at his table. Do not excuse yourself, your daughters, your friends, from the blessings and work of Jesus. No matter what your society tells you about your status, you have God-given gifts and a place at this table. In the 19th chapter of Luke, a rich little man named Zacchaeus climbed a tree to watch Jesus walk by. He thought he was safely out of sight and could merely observe. You see, he was a rich tax collector, which meant he had used his position to steal much more than he was supposed to from his own people. He was a traitor and a sinner, excluded from the company of good people. Zacchaeus was an outcast. Of course, when the great teacher passed by, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." What? Jesus must not have known that man was a sinner, but he did. In his time, his company, his listening, and his love changed the life of Zacchaeus. We may not want Cousin Susie and her bratty kids in our home. However, she may need to see loving guidance as you correct and care for your children. She may need a listening ear as she fears job loss, illness, divorce, foreclosure, or sobriety. Her children may need to feel the unconditional love in your crazy grand family. They may need the boundaries you set for all the kids in your home. And for Zacchaeus, it was not a distant lecture or being shunned by his whole tribe that changed him. What broke open the stone-cold heart of a rich tax collector was the public love and acceptance of Jesus Christ. "I will sit down to eat with you. We are sisters and brothers, children of a loving God." Those big family get-togethers often require prior discussions about whom to invite. We may need to protect a vulnerable victim. We may need to teach a troublemaker that her behavior is unacceptable. Yet most often, we need to recall that when Peter asked, "How often should I forgive?" Jesus answered, 77 times. Yes, Uncle Ernie hugs too long. Aunt Grace talks with food in her mouth, and Pete's son broke your lamp last year. Forgive and forgive and forgive. By this they will know you are mine if you love one another. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Out of the corner of his eye, Jesus saw his students, his disciples, chasing away parents who wanted Jesus to touch and bless their children. Children can be messy, smelly, ill-mannered, and noisy. And Jesus took them in his arms and loved them. He even used children as good examples, saying we should love and greet the kingdom as children, wide-eyed and open-hearted. We can learn from them. Children tend to want purple zebra cups and things that clash with the good china. And yes, including them is disruptive because they can be messy and smelly, ill-mannered and noisy. They may put gravy on the dog and fill their diapers during dinner, but Jesus knew that. And Jesus showed us how to welcome them and love them. Thanksgiving is past. Why worry about dinner guests and china? Because a prophetic word is meant to shock and awe, but mostly to change lives. And our table is a metaphor for the church, the body of Christ. I'm welcome. You're welcome. Messy, aggravating, saint or sinner, all are welcome. We provide purple zebra cups and new songs to make everyone feel loved and welcome, to allow all to worship in spirit and truth. No matter what our culture tells us about women, children, youth, gays, undocumented immigrants, the disabled, or the mentally ill, we hear Jesus. He said all are welcome, all are children of God to be invited, included, fed, forgiven, listened to, and loved. We need bread, nourishment for the journey. Share the feast. We have God's work to do together. Amen.